Ladies and gentlemen, I've always been a fan of this young man. Always. I make no bones about this. I've worked with him now twice in pantomime. I've worked with him at the Philharmonic. I've worked everywhere. He's now got a book out, and I was very privileged the other day to have an evening with him, which was amazing, which he did for Variety Club, because he's now an ambassador for Variety Club, to raise money. The book is called This Time Around. It is Mr. Ray Quinn. Hello, Raymond.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes, I'm very good, thank you. Very good.
First question's got to be, why a book at this time of your life? How old are you?
I'm 26. So, a lot of people do say, oh, you know, he's only a baby, or why has he written a book? But I don't think people realise how much I've done and indeed been through. It's not a case of it's like my story. It's more like a journey with me. A lot of comments I've been getting is more like, basically, if you were sitting in a pub with me and you wanted to ask me questions, that's how it's written out. Basically, I'm answering the questions people sort of normally ask and actually normally don't ask because they don't really want to seem rude. So it's basically just writing down the things that I've been through, seen and done, and obviously people have met, and it's just all in black and white, really, for you to see and know my journey. I mean, I started out when I was 3 years old. So, you know, people do have that opinion of, like, why is he doing a book? He's only a kid. But I've been through what a 40-year-old's been through.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I know what you've been through. I mean, and one thing that comes over loud and clear for you as a professional is that where you've got to today, and you're only on the start of your journey, even though you've done what you've done, you've got there because of hard work. And that's the most important message to me that comes out of this book. Hard work is where you are today because of that. Yeah. You get these talent shows, you were on one, but you had the grafting behind it. You see these people on these talent shows, Ray, and they couldn't stand on stage and do what you do because they haven't had that training, have they?
No, I mean, often I get the question of, like, you know, the new X Factor hopefuls are getting ready and it's, you know, it's almost soon for them to do their first auditions. Would you give any advice? And my answer is sort of just like, well, just know who you are, know who it is you want to be, and know that, you know what, if it fails, you need to have something to fall back on. Time and time again, there's so many people that enter that competition thinking it's a, you know, it is a life changer, absolutely. But you've got to know how to deal with it. And I think because of my training and because of me growing up and learning and going to college and going to after school activities as far as learning my trade as a dancer, as a singer, as an actor, I had something to fall back on, and that was my theatre, and my first love was my acting. So, you know, I had that avenue, natural progression to be able to do that, and took time out of the music industry. I think you have to be a completely different person, especially in the music industry. It's such a tough old game anyway, as you know, Pete. But the music industry is a different beast altogether. So, yeah, I mean, I was so young. I was 17. I had my first album out, as I said before on the show. I went 330,000 copies. We went number one, and we had a sellout UK tour. And because I haven't done that for so long, it's almost like starting again. You know,
I'm working
on the new album.
Yeah, if you sit in the company of Ray Quinn, I guarantee it'll be 5 minutes before he mentions his family, because they're that important to you, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, my mum and dad are like the rocks in my life, and whenever there's a problem, whenever there's a worry, whenever there's tough times, because in this industry there's a lot of highs and there's many lows, just, you know, equally as many lows. And the only thing that sort of got me through and kept me going, really, you know, is my mum and dad, especially when I was younger. A lot of the time, you know, you sort of get to a point in your life and think, ooh, is this what I want to do? And, oh, do you think, you know, is this all really worth it? And it's only when they push you a little bit and just help push your parents like that. There is definitely a fine line. But my mum and dad helped me tremendously, really. And I only since having my own son, you realise how much my mum and dad actually did for me. And you do get to a teenager, and there's kids out there, even children that I know, go, oh, I hate my mum and dad, and oh, they do my head in and all that. Trust me, there's times when my mum and dad do my head in, but they mean the world to me, and I couldn't live life without them.
Ray, was it a difficult book to write? You've never written a book before. Was it hard? Did you find it intrusive? Were you getting a sort of a little bit irritated thinking, I don't want to say that about myself. I don't want people to know that.
It was tough. I tell you, it was an emotional journey, to say the least. I mean, the times I'd have to leave the room and just put the paper down and turn the computer off and walk away. Because there was a lot of times that sort of came right flooding right back to me, and oh gosh, even the stuff that I'd be wearing, I'd remember the song I was listening to at the time, I remember how I felt, and you know, especially when my nan passed away, you know, I was on holiday and it was only when I got back and I was the last person she ever spoke to on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after I put the phone down, she left us, like, and, you know, it was a hard time because I was really close to my nan, as was my mum. And my mum was always like, oh, I think, you know, I needed her more than she needed me. And it was a tough old time, really was hard. And, you know, I couldn't go and see her. My brothers went to go and see her after she died and stuff. And I just couldn't put myself through it. I just wanted to remember her as a happy, go-lucky, lovely, wonderful woman. So, yeah, I mean, everyone deals with things differently. And, of course, obviously in the industry, when you get at the time when I got dropped and stuff, I thought my world was over. Everything sort of came crashing down at the age of 18, 19. You're thinking, oh, gosh, you know, why? Why this? Why now? Mm. Why me? And although it'd be minor, you just get on with it. And before you know it, I've done 8 or 9 years in the industry now, and I'm getting phone calls from the likes of Arlene Phillips to go and join the Judy Garland show, which starts in a month. And you just think, wow, you know, I've come a long way.
Right. When you went to your mum and dad and said, I'm going to write a book, how did they react about that?
You better be saying nice things about me. yeah, I think my mum had my mum did have a big old part in it, and my dad, because my mum basically is a typical mum. She's kept everything that I've ever done.
Yeah.
She's kept every little drawer and every little piece of paper, every letter I wrote to her as a child. I mean, if there was ever a time where I thought, what was that? What happened then? I'd phone my mum and I'd say, Mum, do you remember that time? And she'd go, I've got the date, I've got the picture. And she'd have it all in the bin bag ready for me when I got in, so it's sort of catch up. But
that's great, and that's why you should keep stuff for, you know, one day Harry will be married and he'll be able to show his children what you did. You know, it is important to keep stuff like that.
It is important. And you know what? Back in those days, when my mum, there were no iPhones, or, you know, there was just about recording players and record, whatever you call them, you know, the video cameras and stuff. So now we have these phones that do everything, you know. Yeah. I'll be able to say, well, look, pull on my phone, mate, and show them everything and be like, oh, I can't believe, you know. So, you know, it was a journey.
Yeah.
Ray,
let me ask you a question. I won't dwell on this, but I'll ask the question. When the book was finished, had you split with Emma before or after?
No, it was after. The book is basically up to date when I just before, you know, things were sort of slightly rocky, as it were. But yeah, I mean, the next book I'll be writing by the time.
Yeah.
I'm coming to retire.
Now, I know you're great mates with Emma, and you've got problems, which is nobody's business, but Harry's right in the middle of it, and Harry is very important in your life, isn't he?
Absolutely. Me and Emma, you know, it's still raw, obviously, but me and Emma are great, and things are moving forward the way they should be, you know, and I talk to him as much as I can. I see him every weekend, and things are going well. And as I say, as parents, as any parents out there, you know, between the two of you, the main priority, no matter what, is always Harry. And he's such a good boy. I mean, she's a fabulous woman and an amazing mother to him. Yeah. And I can only thank my lucky stars, really, that she is. And what she does for him and the way she brings him up. And when I go see him and I take him out, you know, he's like, hello, everybody. And and he runs into the playgroup and he's just like, he's an entertainer. Yeah. He's definitely his mum and dad's son. I mean, like, you know, he's unbelievable. Yeah. And he's please and thank you. He's very polite. He's wonderful.
Well, she's a great mum. I know her. She's a lovely lady. I'm talking to Ray Quinn. He's got a book out called This Time Around. First book. Great picture on the front. We mustn't dismiss The X Factor, because you mentioned the album, which was a huge seller, but what a dream come true. You did it in Sinatra's studio.
Yeah, we flew over to LA, first time ever sort of going there, and Capitol Studios, here I come type of thing. I was like 17, 10 and 18. And I performed with a 62-piece orchestra, some of which had played for Frank Sinatra and Dean and Sammy, and I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. It really, really was. And that's all in the book, and how I felt, and stories told and tales told during the recording, through people I've met who played for Frank. And I, as I say, I've grown up with these idols, and that's why it's a privilege to me, for me to be in a show like Judy Garland, the songbook, because, you know, it's all celebrating the legacy that she had and the people that she met. And some of these people I still look up to and always have done, like Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, Bing Crosby, Donald O'Connor. These people adored her. And the songs that are going to be in the show are along those lines, and all the songs that made her famous.
Just staying with the album a second, we've got to point out that what people say, well, why fly him over? What's that about? Well, to me, straight away, your performance, you always give 100% anyway, but you would give 120% because you're in that studio. So when you're singing that song, what's going through your head is not just the song, it's the fact that who has been here. And that comes over in the recording, loud and clear.
Oh, absolutely. I was just so over the moon and didn't know how to deal with it all, really. I just sort of took it in my stride. But, you know, what? If there's anything I've learned in this industry, is never to rush. But always enjoy yourself, and I am a winner, not in an arrogant way or any cocky type of way. I'm not that type of person, but I like to do my best. I like to please. I like to make sure people are happy with my job and happy with what I give them is a good result. And that was what my goal was, really. As soon as I jumped on board with Psycho and I got signed to Sony and I was with Simon and he was there in the studio and he said, I can't believe, you know, you've got some cojones, Ray. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're just so young, you know, and coming out and doing what you've just done. He said, it's just brilliant and it's just great to have you on board and you're a hard worker and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, everything just went so well. And that's why when I got dropped, I was like, what now? What next? You know, and you do worry. And I'm a worried anyway, but I was so young. I was a baby, you know, and it's only, 9, 10 years on, coming up to 10 years. And so many things have happened in my life and It's crazy. It really is.
I've got to say, ladies and gentlemen, one reason worth buying the book for is some pictures in there. There is actually one of him without any tattoos.
Yeah, I showed that to you. Look, Pete.
No tattoos. Tell us about your passion for tattoos.
Well, my granddad had them, and my brothers have got a couple. But I'm all or nothing, you see. So if I start something, I want to finish it with extravagance. And I started getting my first one, and that was in remembrance of my nan. And then they are just addictive, I suppose. But I do love them, and I'm actually involved in a campaign at the moment with my tattoo artist, Kevin Paul, which is getting safer, regulated tattooing monitored. A lot better because, you know, the likes of yourself could go out and buy a £20 machine off the internet, 60 bottles of ink at, like, you know, 50p a bottle, you know, and start tattooing downstairs in your house, and no one would bother you. It's not illegal. It's, you know, and things are happening where a lady, a young girl, actually 15 years of age, let her boyfriend tattoo her downstairs in their flat, and her foot got infected, and she almost lost their leg because of the infection. And nobody knows what's in this ink, and nobody knows where the machines come from, whether it's been regulated. So we've been to Parliament, and we've got 1,000 signatures already, looking to get 100,000 by the end of this year, and get the regulations just that little bit more stronger. There is a regulation out there, but it's very grey. And it just needs updated. The last time they did it was back in 1984. Just needs updating, you know? So, yeah, my passion for tattoos, I love art. I've always been a drawer. I've drawn all my life. I love colouring in. You know, I'm quite a child when it comes to drawing. I escape. I love it. I admire other people's art, you know, and if I can get that on my skin and have it forever, it's it's a wonderful thing.
Ray, that story you just told us is a very serious story, but I've just bit my lip and nearly drawn blood. You don't realise what you just said, so I'll remind you what you just said. You said, and her boyfriend, he, well, she let him tattoo her down below, downstairs. I had to bite my lip then. I can't believe you said that. That's going out. That's going to be, that's a classic.
All right, I'll just elaborate.
No, leave it, leave it. It was the innocence of you saying, and she let him tattoo her downstairs. It was just a gem there. I'm talking to Ray Quinn. He's got a book out called This Time Around. Judy Garland, this is a show and a half that's coming to the Empire as well.
Yes, yeah, we're coming to the Empire sooner rather than later. So, I mean, anyone who wants to see the show or whatever, it's rayquinn.co.uk. Everything's on there. Or the judygarlandshow.com. It's... one of those things, basically, Ben Richards was supposed to be in the show, and I was doing my tour, and everything's going well. Ben Richards' wife got pregnant, and he had to leave because he wanted to make sure she was okay, which is fair enough, as I did when Emma was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I got a phone call from Arlene, and she was just like, Arlene Phillips just was like, we need you, can we get you in? And then I had a chat with Chris Minnelle, the director. I was just so, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I grew up watching Singing in the Rain and all these films with, like I said before, the likes of Gene Kelly and Judy Garland and Bing Crosby. And I just...
And Lorna's in it, isn't it? Her daughter's in it.
Lorna, yeah, Lorna's her daughter. Yeah, she's going to be coming on towards the end of the show. And, I mean, the cast is absolutely fabulous. We've got some great people in the team and a fabulous director, as I say. Chris Minnelle is an amazing director. Yeah, the team of people in the show is just going to be one big spectacle. I mean, I'm back dancing again. I guess I'm going to be doing loads of tap numbers and me and my girl type of thing with like a duet. And it's just going to be so amazing. And there's a big backdrop of Judy's videos back in the day when she did this show and did that show and old interviews that just celebrate her life and what a wonderful, talented young woman.
Sounds amazing.
She was, you know.
Sounds amazing. When you did Panto this year just gone, the year before when you did the skating, what I loved about you, and we'll go back to the fact that you're a grafter, you were up at 5, 6 in the morning skating before you were doing two shows a day, all rehearsals at Panto, and then you went on to win it. It is about hard work, isn't it?
It is. I mean, certainly when there's a challenge in front of you, you can't just sit back and hope it's going to come to you. I mean, you know what the hardest thing, you know, if you're the wolf on top of the hill, you're not going to work as hard as the wolf climbing it. And there's always that saying, if you fail to prepare, then prepare to fail. So I didn't want to be the loser. I didn't want to be the one people were going, oh, well, he was good when he first did it. And he won the first time, but actually when he came back, he wasn't that good, was he? And I wanted to be better. I wanted to surprise people yet again. And I want to win. You know, I want to do well. And I want to be successful. And that's just in my nature.
You did that with the impressions as well. As you said, you like to surprise people, don't you?
Yeah. Again, that was like so last minute. And Deborah Stevenson, a really good friend of mine, obviously was my mentor with her fabulous impressions. And she phoned me. She's like, oh, I'm so happy you're doing this. And I went, I'm not being funny, Deb. She said, I'm a bit scared. I don't really know how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to even attempt it. I'm used to taking the mick out of my brothers when I'm in the pub, but actually doing it as a, you know, live on stage or in front of millions, I'm like, a bit scared. She went, don't worry about it. We'll have it sorted. And soon enough, and after just time and time, just videos and watching and taking it all in, we got there, and actually it wasn't too bad. I was very embarrassed when I watched it the first time. Because it's just something that I'm not used to seeing myself do. But then the second time, I thought, well, let's just go for it. I did it all right the first time, you know.
Yeah, I thought you were amazing. Now, you've had a lot of highs, a lot of lows, a lot of highs. But one of the big highs for you was working the Cavern when you were on tour with your show.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavern for me was just an amazing place to be able to do. I mean, we did it the first time back in 2007 on my first UK tour. And, you know, I said to you before, I didn't have to worry at all. It sort of sold out, it turned up, done my job, left, and that was it. I didn't see any of the logistics. I didn't see anybody doing the work and putting out the PR and the press, I didn't understand it really at all. And this time we booked the cavern, and I was so excited, thinking, oh yeah, same thing again. And I got a phone call from John, I think, John, one of the lads from the cavern, and phoned me, who said, "Hey, mate, look, just let you know, ticket sales coming through and that." I said, "Oh, right, yeah." He said, we've only sold 90. And if we don't get to just over 150 by the weekend, he said, I'm a bit nervous as to the audience you're going to have. He said, we're going to have to reschedule. And I went, look, leave it with me. Give me 2 weeks. Leave it with me. So I thought, no, I'm not having that. I said, right, well, that's it. It's my city. I'm going to do this. It's where I'm from. So I thought, right, I want to take the bull by the horns, not be embarrassed, and do something about it. So 2 weeks to go before the show, I phoned up my mum. I said, "Mum, I'm emailing you a picture of myself. I've made a poster on my phone. Get down the local print shop. Print 1,000 off. I'll send you the money. I'll be down there the weekend. I'm going to take 3 days out, and I'm going to promote the gig myself." So I did. I took my backpack. I went into town. Got the printed all the things off. Ran around town. Gave a few to the cavern. Got some posters done for the cavern. They were made up. And my mum, bless her, and Arsu was slapping these posters around town as quickly as he could without being sort of in your face, and didn't want any coppers coming over saying, "Hey, get off, what are you doing?" And I phoned you, I said, "Let me do an interview." I phoned Leanne, I tried to do everything I possibly could to get myself out there and get people knowing about this gig. And I put leaflets in the Empire, they were helping me out as well, just using my friends and what I knew. Anyway, we sold out.
And it was brilliant. It was absolutely
brilliant. And it was a fantastic gig,
Why have you called the book this time round?
I've called the book this time round because, well, you know what? I feel as if I've almost, I'm 26, and I almost feel like only now I know what it is that I truly want to pursue and what my passions are and where my heart lies and the chances I want to take. Because, you know, leading up to the X Factor, I was in college. I didn't even want to do the X Factor. I said to Mum, "I don't want to be that guy who leaves the X Factor and people just go, oh, he's that lad off the X Factor, isn't he?"
Yeah.
You know, who didn't quite make it, or, you know, just that doubt of success, that doubt of failure just scared me too much. So after going for it and listening to people and, you know, listening to people's advice and taking their advice and going for certain things that, you know, was put in front of me, I just went with it as best I could and as best I knew and managed to get through the other side successfully. And, you know, I've had money, I've lost money. Again, that's all in the book. But you live and learn in any situation in life. And I feel like now I've grown into myself. I've learned a lot. And I'm still learning. But I feel like this time round,
fantastic,
is my time to sort of get stuck down, get my head down, and have a bit more of a clearer path as to what it is I want to be, and soak up the atmosphere of what it is, where it is I'm going. You know,
are you pleased with the book?
I am pleased with the book. I mean, there's towards the end, again, I've been through management fields that haven't worked out, and I wish I could, you know, change a couple of chapters, but you know what, that's the way it was, that's what happened, that's how I felt at the time. And the whole book is, as I say, black and white. I'm very, very pleased with it. I'm proud of it. It was done quite quickly, but the pictures in there, how I feel, the way I talk, it's all me. So it's Scouse humour. I don't say my, I say me hair or me car, you know. So the lady, her name's Cherry, and she basically looks after all of the words and stuff. And she kept coming back saying, "What's this? Why?"
Well, she's a foreigner, isn't she? She's not from Liverpool.
No. She's like, what's about it? I mean, A-B-A-R, what's that? I said, about it, but that's how Scousers say it. So, you know, I wanted to keep it me. I didn't want anybody thinking, oh, we didn't write this. Oh, he hasn't said that. Yeah. Oh, he wouldn't have said that. My fans are over the moon. My mum was happy with it. So, you know what? That's all I'm happy with. You know, if my mum said, "Right, mate, that was wrong. No, that's no good. I don't like the way you said that," my publisher would have pulled it. Definitely.
Ray, to finish off, I've got to mention this album that you're working on, because I've never seen you so excited. The other night when we raised this money for charity, the last song you sang, which made the all made me goose pimply, it was fantastic, which is one of the originals. Briefly, tell us about it, the album.
Okay, so the last 10 months, gathered a team of people around me, Sam, Nad, myself, and a great, fantastic management team now looking after me. And I'm in the studio writing and helping, watching, seeing the production go on. So I'm almost in my apprenticeship here in as far as production goes. But when it comes down to writing and being creative, I've never been more in control and more happy and satisfied, you know, when I get to the studio. I'm just having so much fun. And it's been a tough old couple of years for me in the industry and personally, and the whole album will be around that. So it comes from a much more of a, you know, closer place to my heart, really. Mm-hmm. And the sound that I'm going for is completely different to what I'd normally be singing. Like, people know me for my swing. So when I do my gigs now, I sing my swing. I get that in there, and I, you know, remind people of what it is I've done and where I've come from. But when I'm in the studio now, we're writing stuff with like a Motown-y, funky soul sound, but it's backed up with like a hip-hop beat, so it's really, it's cool and edgy, and it's out there, but it's poppy. So it brings me right up to date. You know, we're looking at parallels like Sam Smith and that type of vibe with that funky, but with a, like Bruno Mars edge. So as I say, creativity takes time. So that's why I'm still doing the album. I'm nowhere near finished. My album's been crowdfunded, but my fans are being very loyal and wonderful and letting me take my time to perfect this album, because it has to be perfect. It can't be any less.
No. Good on you.
So I'm really loving it being back in the studio and can't wait to, you know, get that music out there.
Ray, it's been a joy to talk to you. The book is called This Time Around. It is Ray Quinn. We look forward to the album. We certainly look forward to seeing you at the Empire with the Judy Garland show, which is going to be amazing. Thank you so much for talking to me.
No worries, mate. I appreciate your time. And as I say, I love coming on and chatting about it. And I hope when people read the book, they just see me for who I am and where I've been and actually, you know, where I'm going and what it is I want to do. Just supporting that, really.
Ray Quinn, thank you very much. Ta-da.
Nice one.